She told Margaret Thatcher's life story in The Iron Lady and co-wrote the controversial film Shame about a sex addict. Writer Abby Morgan's stories for movies and television have won Oscar nods, Emmy wins, and plenty of other awards. Her latest film finds drama in the women's voting rights movements in Britain in the early 1900s. Suffragette stars Carey Mulligan, Helena Bonham Carter, and Meryl Streep, playing the role of one of the best-known political activists of that time, Emmeline Pankhurst.
We have been left with no alternative but to defy this government. If we must go to prison to obtain the vote, let it be the windows of government, not the bodies of women, which shall be broken.
As the screenwriter, Abby Morgan is the architect of the story on screen. She says she thought the suffragette movement would mean another polite costume drama.
I was a bit resistant because I was thinking tambourines and corsets and bonnets and, you know, wide-brimmed hats and lady who's drink tea giving out flyers. And so that was my very limited knowledge of the suffragettes. And then actually when they showed me the incredible research, everything from police surveillance records through to testimonials of working women and sort of newspaper articles and newsreels at the time, I just realised there was a fascinating movie here. So I set about writing it. And 6 years later, we finally got the film made.
And there's not a tambourine in sight, I have to
say. There's not a tambourine. We've discarded the tambourine. They sneaked in that first draft. Actually, what was interesting about the first draft was I actually wrote it from a point of view of a sort of middle to upper class woman called Alice, played by Romola Garai in the movie, and into her world where she is running the home while her MP husband goes and berates the suffragettes in Westminster, comes a young laundress called Maud. And actually, as the more research I did around the laundries and Maud, I realised that it was the story of the working women that really fascinated me. And I thought, no, actually, this is where we should set the film. We should give voice to the voiceless.
Talk about some of the actions that they did take.
Well, I mean, what was so fascinating when we came to sell this film was that we kept on saying, it's a kick-ass movie. You know, these women these women blow things up. You know, they set light to pillar boxes and they cut telegraph wires and there'll be moments of random nudity set in a laundry. I mean, we did everything we could to finance the movie. But what was incredibly compelling was that these women, after such a long period of peaceful protest, you know, split at this point. And it was Mrs. Pankhurst who spoke to the women and said, look, we're not being taken seriously. We need to attack public property. No human life must be lost, but I ask you to try and attract the attention of the media, and more than that, to try and attract and change the point of view of Westminster, who were very, very undermining of the women throughout their campaign.
When women attack the home of a government minister, we have reached a state of anarchy we can no longer ignore. This has to stop. The press can only be tamed so long. They grow more and more interested in these damned women, while we in government must try to quash every new story.
As you mentioned, the heroine of the film, Maud, played by Carey Mulligan, she's a laundress and a mother, and we really go on the journey with her from a person who's not involved in the movement to someone who becomes very deeply involved in the movement with some consequences that we'll get to in a moment. But how did all this make you think about radicalism and what turns someone into a radical?
Well, I think that was the point of choosing in every woman, you know, realizing that actually great moments of history are often led by the ordinary women. And so it was fascinating to me to imagine what would take you from being a passive outsider, as Maud is at the start of the film, to actively engaging with the disparity and unhappiness in your life to motivate your own militant activism.
This is also a story about how the men in their lives, whether it's bosses, spouses, allies, react to their activism. In this scene, Maud and her husband are talking about her getting deeper into this movement.
You're a mother, Maud. You're a wife. My wife. That's what you're meant to be.
Not just that anymore.
One thing about that scene is there's a lot of almost confusion on the face of the male actors in the film, right? Mm. Like, they're not always vehement. Sometimes it's just a genuine kind of like, what are you doing here?
Sonny, who's played by Ben Whishaw, who you just heard there, he's a man who really is born outside of his time and comes to discover that his wife's courage and his wife's rebellion is something that he cannot neither condone or run with, you know. And so, and yet he deeply loves her. And so we were trying to capture in that performance, and certainly in the character when I was writing it, I was trying to imagine what would it be like if the person you had attached your whole future to suddenly changed the course of the direction of their life and then subsequently your own.
And you also get a sense of how you're policed by society at that time, right? Like shunned by neighbors, other women, your coworkers. Like there was such a steep social cost for being part of this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this what we've tried to do in the film is we've tried to reclaim history and female history because so much of history is written by men. And I adapted Sebastian Falk's book, Birdsong. And so I'd really thought I knew about that lead up to the First World War. But what I realized is I had focused completely on the journey of the men facing the First World War, and I hadn't looked at the women that we have ignored.
Having had that experience with Birdsong and how you thought about suffragette, how do you take the criticism that people have had, some feminists, about this being exclusionary to women of color or it not touching on strains of the movement that embraced the racism of that time?
I think it's a really important conversation and we shouldn't duck it. I mean, the truth is that this film is focused on the UK suffragette movement, which was very different to the US suffragette movement in terms of the incredible and diverse Britain that we have today just wasn't in existence to the same degree in 1912 Britain. And all the research we didn't find any women of colour. And the truth is there were two very high profile women at that time, Princess Sophia Dilip Singh, and she was an extraordinary woman, but she was the goddaughter of Queen Victoria and an aristocrat. And then there was Bikjami Karma, who was also an extraordinary and yet aristocratic Indian woman who was exiled subsequently in Paris because she refused to give up her views on the suffrage movement and so couldn't return to India. And these women were exceptional women, but they were absolutely in a minority. And so what I hope that you take from this film is a sense that this is a film that is absolutely about trying to empower women and trying to promote and inspire, you know, equality for all women across the globe.
We have just a few moments, but before I let you go, I read that you once said of your writing that your greatest films are still on the shelf and that no one wants to make them.
No,
can you
share
with us a story you'd like to see told?
I've done two or three films that, you know, are very important to me that don't get made. And I think they also have their time. And I think, you know, in this extraordinary digital age where we're so connected with global inequality, I think what's been exciting for us about this film is we thought it would land quite lightly and, you know, would just become another film. But it's really great that some of the conversations, including conversations about diversity, but certainly about women's place in the industry and how, you know, are we getting parity and have things changed since this extraordinary movement to get the vote? I think they're all really, really vital and alive conversations and we should be having them. So, you know, as much as I'm sad about the films I don't get made, I'm incredibly grateful when they do find their time and do get made.
Well, Abby Morgan, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh, really nice to talk to you too. Thanks so much.
Abby Morgan, she wrote the new film, Suffragette.